On what kind of organizing are you doing? I mean, we're talking about people. I mean, you shelter in place, the whole San Francisco area, 7 million people. It looks like it's coming to New York as well. How do you organize in a crisis like this?
Well, as I mentioned, we launched this One Fair Wage Emergency Fund Monday morning. We've been raising money and doling out cash assistance to workers. But for every single worker that signs up, we're doing a one-on-one, a one-hour conversation, talking to them about their needs, their situation. Why are we in this to begin with? And why we need to vote. We're signing people up to vote as we talk to them and to screen them to send out the checks. It is a very strange and crazy and dystopian moment. The stories that are coming in of these 15,000 workers that have already applied are heartbreaking. You know, I lost my job on Friday. I cannot feed my three children. I have children with developmental disabilities. I have children with illness. I don't know how I'm going to feed them or take care of them. I really don't know how I'm going to pay my rent to keep a roof over my head.
We're going to have to leave it there, Saru. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and be safe. Saru Jayaraman with the Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, One Fair Wage. Also joining us from New York, Damani Varnado, longtime New York restaurant worker who was just laid off. That does it for our show. A huge thanks to our staff. Thank you so much to Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warnoff, Dennis Moynihan, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Wednesday Talk Radio. We thank you for tuning in this morning. KBOO Community Radio is currently closed to all in-station volunteer and visitor activity for the next 30 days due to the COVID-19 pandemic, effective March 13th, which means your host for Wednesday Talk Radio is remote. That's right. All of our volunteers are no longer in station in order to help prevent and slow the spread of infection. But that doesn't mean that they aren't absolutely just chomping at the bit to talk to you. So just stay tuned in a little bit. Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Rowland is coming up. But first, this from KBOO.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is supported by our members and by AMR, who would like you to know the warning signs of a heart attack. Common symptoms are pain in the chest, arm or jaw, lightheadedness, and shortness of breath. Calling 911 as soon as you see the signs can save a life.
At KBOO, we think that all communities deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Paul Rowland with more talk radio. You know, I'm going to do a little music here while we say, hey, let's figure this one out as we figure out the technicalities of hosting Wednesday Talk Radio remotely. Paul is on the phone. Let's see if we can get him there and make sure we're ready to go. Paul, can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us remotely for Wednesday Talk Radio.
And thank you, Jenna. And a shout-out, first of all, to all the incredibly hardworking staff members who are putting in long hours that we volunteers can't imagine because we're not able to go there because of this beast that has descended upon all of the planet that we are all struggling to deal with in our own ways. And we here at KABU are taking it very seriously as well and doing what we can to inform the community in various ways. And hopefully we'll have my regular third Wednesday co-host Sarah on the line as well. And we'll be talking about mutual aid in time of pandemic. And there's a lot of, you know, everybody's scrambling at all levels of federal, state, local government, international bodies, the various mixed private and public layers of health, all the different private entities that are struggling with this in their own ways, many of them being closed down, which is creating a lot of problems for a lot of people. The economy's crashing. It's wild times, folks. But as we know, in times of crisis and disaster, as we've seen time and time again from hurricanes and floods and what have you, the state is generally unable to deal in a thorough way in all the needs, to deal with all the needs of all the people who are affected. So the people often have to fill in the gaps and create our own mutual aid solidarity networks, as happened at Superstorm Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, and on and on. And sometimes these groups provide some of the more necessary daily functions of assistance. So in Portland, there's at least two Facebook groups that have started. And I don't know if Sarah's on the line yet. We are waiting for her to... Okay. So there's a really good article that Corey Alia, who was on my show a couple months ago, it's called Portland's Advocates Rally, an Outpouring of Support and Calls for Action During the Coronavirus Crisis. And he talks about the way that people are dealing with the way that government is dealing with the houseless community. There's been a temporary moratorium on evictions. There's been vendors from street roots have formed outreach teams which are visiting camps to inform campers about the virus and handing out sanitary supplies. There's, as I said, these two Facebook groups, the COVID-19 Portland, Oregon Area Community Support and the PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid Network. And those are two Facebook groups that you can join if you are on the computer and on Facebook. At least the Mutual Aid Network also has an email. I'm not sure about the other one, the Community Support Group. And if you're, of course, those are just in our Portland area. If there's any listeners in the outside areas outside in Southwest Washington, in Salem, Corvallis, other areas that have their own networks, please call in 503-231-8187. Give us a few minutes to work out getting my co-host Sarah online, and let us know what you're doing. And we're going to be talking about the various efforts that are underway in terms of helping people with shopping, helping people get their necessary medicines, all the various things that things we might not even think about that people are having to deal with. So we're going to be talking about all that until 9 o'clock. And there's also a national Facebook group called the People's Coronavirus Response, which you can get involved in. Anyway, again, the number is 503-231-8187 to talk about what you're doing to help your neighbors, what people are doing, what you know about people are doing. While we wait for Sarah to get on the line, I'm just going to read a little more of this article by Corey. He might be calling in as well. Since the first case of coronavirus in Oregon was announced on February 28th, tensions in the Portland metropolitan area have been increasing. But even in the face of the crisis, volunteers and officials are taking steps to respond to the outbreak's health and economic impact, and special steps to protect the unhoused. As of Monday morning, March 17th, there are currently 47 confirmed cases in Oregon. I believe that's gone up quite a bit since then. One of the most complicating issues for health officials is the lack of data on how widely the virus has already spread. The virus may have been spreading in Washington State for 6 weeks prior to it first being detected. Of course, this is all information that most people have heard all about because the media is really saturating this. And of course, that's a good thing because this is an unprecedented pandemic that none of us have ever experienced in our lives, and no governments have experienced, which is one reason why everybody's behind the curve and playing catch up. Apparently, China, with its very centralized form of government, has been able to get ahead of the curve dramatically, in dramatic fashion. And if we can believe all the reports, there's relatively few cases. But of course, we don't actually know. Part of the problem is we know so little about this virus, since it is a new virus to science and to us. So we don't know if people can catch it again. Obviously, China doesn't say that it's completely contained, because you know it could be brought back into the country by people who are traveling back in. There's so many unknowns, and it's only been recently, as we know, that the federal government has actually started to get up to speed. So their late tardiness has created additional problems in terms of testing and other things. Again, things you've heard about already on KABU and elsewhere. Looks like we've got a listener, April, on the line. So go ahead, April. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm really glad you're doing this. I just had a question. I am one of the approximately 25% of people in Portland who do not have a computer. And, of course, the libraries are closed, which are the places to access computers. And so I was just wondering if you knew of anything that had been organized for people without computers.
You know, I was afraid we were going to get this call, because we do often get this call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting a message from my co-host. Apparently, they haven't been connected yet. Yes, that's a problem, and I didn't see a phone number listed. So yeah, even email, obviously, it's the same issue for you,
right?
All. So
right.
I think, you know, this brings up how completely the computer has taken over so many aspects of, you know, activism and social organizing. And maybe someone has an answer, because I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, well, I will. I need to get ready for work now, but I will go ahead and listen while I'm doing that. And if you could maybe find out an answer either now or sometime in the future, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Are you with me, Sarah?
Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry about the confusion there. I'm having to look at my cell phone for messages coming in, look at Facebook, and interact with listeners. Okay, so Sarah, you are with Portland Assembly. People know your voice. You've been on for the past several months, sometimes with Jonathan, sometimes with MK. You are involved in the PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid Network, which is, as I said, one of at least two Facebook groups. Tell us a little bit about why you organize this and what y'all been doing.
Okay, for sure. Good morning, everyone. Nice to be here. Remote radio, this is exciting. So a friend of mine, Johnny Shaver, texted me last week on Thursday, I think. The days are kind of blending together at this point. And said that the organization that he worked for, which is the Oregon Food Bank, was interested in supporting a mutual aid network. And did I want to do that? And I said, yes, I did. So we started reaching out, and Johnny and I had worked together before at the Montevilla Emergency Warming Shelter, and then also the Sunnyside Warming Shelter. You know, it's interesting because there's just a lot in that system that leads into this. I'll talk about that later. We just started reaching out to people and groups that we had worked with in the past. We tried to think about folks whose needs were going to go unmet, basically, and how we could fill in those gaps in the safety network. So we reached out to, we have the support of the Oregon Food Bank, we're really excited. We're doing our first big food box drop today. So there will be 70 food boxes going out to folks that have signed up with us through the program.
So let me just break in. So is that all from the Oregon Food Bank, or do you have other sources lined up? Are you working on that?
Well, it's all from the Oregon Food Bank at this point, but this is a hugely snowballing project. As people see that the government response is almost non-existent, it really feels like the county, the city, all levels have just been caught flat-footed on this one. They don't seem to have been ahead of the curve at all on planning any sort of response. So it became real obvious that we were going to need to do that. And one of the things that is noticeable in Oregon already is food insecurity. It's an existing problem. So that's something that we've been paying attention to in our groups, in Portland Assembly, and different organizing groups around town. And something that people really worry about, so we figured we better get on that. It's expanded to the point that we have now started to, because of the restaurant industry shutdown, we have started to get offers of kitchen loads of food. So going forward, we are definitely looking for, hey, I'm just going to put out a blast. If you have a commercial kitchen, if you have cold storage that is not being used, that you would like to put in use for a mutual aid project for literally all of your neighbors, reach out to us. And there is a lot of contact on the KBOO link page, but also I will give contacts occasionally during this segment. You can start with PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid on Facebook. We also have a Linktree page that's just Linktree, linktr.ee/PDX Mutual Aid. And it has all of our links. So it has our Facebook, our Instagram, but also the forms to offer support as a member of the network or to ask for support as a member of the network, and our GoFundMe. And we would love to have you visit that page and use all the links. The principles of mutual aid indicate that we need things from each other and we have things to give to each other. And so that means that we're not on the receiving or the giving end of this. It's all a big circle of supplying each other's needs and helping each other get our needs met. So
let me just ask you, since we already had our first caller asking about, on behalf of the, as she said, the 25% of people or households in, Portland or I'm not sure where, actually don't have a computer. Is there already a phone number? Is there a thought of providing a phone number possibly for people?
We are working on that. I don't know exactly when it's going to go live, possibly tomorrow or Friday. And it will be listed, it'll be listed on that page. I don't know if I can, I really feel like I shouldn't give a number that's not live yet, because I would hate to have people call it and be disappointed.
And the problem is KBOO is kind of shut down, so there's no front desk operator to leave the number at the front desk, which we often do. Yes, this is creating many layers of additional obstacles to those that we already have in this society, which is not prepared to deal with such things because it's just not, as we know. But we will find a way to perhaps put that out over the airwaves again, or that's just a problem. Well, since we're so anyway, go ahead.
There are some other ways that we are trying to spread this around. So that's a bad choice of words. There are some other ways that we're trying to get this information out to people and make this network accessible. We recognize that there are a lot of folks who, because they are unhoused, do not have access to internet. And so because of that, we've actually, we're working with some of the partners we're working with. So I work at Join, and we're working with the outreach workers at Join to provide paper forms that folks can fill out to request support. And those will also be taken around by other unhoused folks who do a lot of sort of care work in the community. There's a lot of that going on already, people checking on each other, making sure that neighboring camps have food, that the people that they are around are getting, you know, to the doctor, or getting the medicine they need. So we know that that's already happening. So just like in the house community, we want to use those networks. We're also working with Portland Street Medicine, and they are, I feel like, going to be pivotal throughout this. We are working with Street Roots vendors, and sadly, we just heard the news that Street Roots is going to online only for now. We're hoping to figure out some way that we can use some of the funding we're getting to maybe pay Street Roots vendors or something to help distribute supplies, because that's a huge hit right there to the community. You know, there's also a lot of aggressive tactics being used against homeless people. We've talked about this a lot, but it's kind of ramping up. We've got, and it's not necessarily through ill intentions. Shelters are trying to keep people safe, so they're trying to limit the crowding. But that means that there are a lot of people who don't have anywhere to shelter in place. And we are trying to do the best we can to get those folks what they need. And we recognize that a lot of those people are also, you know, elderly or immunocompromised. And we really are, one of the things that kicked us into action was how little recourse there was for those folks through normal state channels.
So I want to. We have another caller on the line. It's Linda. I want to before we go to her, I just want to ask you, and maybe you can answer after Linda is on the line. That you mentioned the food boxes as one thing. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you to talk about other things that are either starting or that you're also planning in terms of community response, and also, you know, if you're looking for people to actively volunteer, I assume you are. But let's first hear what Linda has to say. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for the program, and I really appreciate the. I think mutual aid organizing is the way to go. It's so important. But I wanted to mention 211. I have a friend who's out, and with the libraries closed and the coffee shops closed, has nowhere to be during the daytime. He does have a shelter at night. And so I called 211, and the first few times my server wouldn't even let me go through to it. But then it did go through, and it connected, and it offered an option to call me back. So it took a little time, but they did call me back, just as they said, and were very generous and took their time with me with all the resources they had. And then for me, I do have a computer, sent me the links to those via email, and I got them all. So there are some places for women who are out in, who have no place to be during the daytime. There are some resources, and 211 can tell them to you. And they will write, I know they'll stay on the phone with someone long enough for them to write them down, you know, someone without a computer, as the woman who called in said. So I think 211 is a really important resource, even though it can be overwhelmed during the, you know, during the day at different times. Just stick with it. That's all I wanted to say. I wanted to just throw that in as another real asset that we have, and they have information about everything from, you know, shelters to doctor, everything.
Absolutely, and actually 211 reached out to us, and they'll be listing our resources as well. So, Paul, that is a way that folks can, without internet, call and get access to the Mutual Aid Network is through 211.
Thank you guys very
much. Glad you called. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you, Linda. So, yeah, getting back to, and again, I said, you know, the PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid Network is what we're talking about. As I said, there's also COVID-19 Portland, Oregon Area Community Support. If anyone from that group wants to call in, we have only one line because both Sarah and I are on the phone, which limits our capacities to take callers. But we do have a line open at 503-231-8187. So if anyone from that group, or as I said, maybe some of the outlying areas that might have their own mutual aid organizing going on, wants to call and let people know. So back to Sarah, who's with the PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid Network. Talk about some of the other efforts that you're either engaged in or planning on.
So some of the other stuff that we're doing, we're definitely collecting donations. The Q Center has opened up to accept donations and join.
Where is the Q Center?
Sorry, let me actually, why did I not pull that address up already? Hang on one moment. I'll have that address in a second, but also join.
It's on Mississippi, I believe, isn't it?
It is. We'll be opening up to take collect donations by the end of the week. So those locations are, the Q Center is, 4115 North Mississippi, and they can take donations between 12 and 2, and then join is at 1435 Northeast 81st Avenue, and we can take donations probably. I think we're going to go 11 to 2 starting on Friday. And this is all, please keep in mind, these are systems that we are building. It sometimes takes some time to get it right, and we are also trying to do this and be very mindful of public health. So we are trying to make sure that we have protocols in place so that we are not just out there spreading this virus. If you get a grocery delivery, if you need someone to pick up your medication, those are things that we can do. And this is, we ask that folks who are well supported, who have financial support to put into the network. So if you are someone who makes money but are immunocompromised and cannot go out, we will help you, but we ask that you pay for your groceries so that we can pay for someone's groceries who is not working or who has three kids and doesn't have the support that you do. But we will do deliveries. We are more than happy to do that. We will make sure that those packages are sanitized when they are left on your porch, but we ask that you also sanitize them before you bring them in. But as I said, we are doing what we can to make sure that we are doing this in a responsible way. So some of these systems may take time to develop.
Okay, we've got Ron online, and I just realized that since we only have one line, it's probably best to take the callers as they come in so we can free up the line.
Absolutely.
So let's go to Ron, who says he has some resources for us. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. I heard when the day before the post office shut down, they said that they would enable, their system is enabled such that people can get online, they can get a Wi-Fi outside of the library. So if you really have a need, you can go sit outside the library and get online.
You said the post office shut down, and you meant the library. I just want to make that clear.
I'm sorry. Did I say post office? Okay. I meant library.
It's all right. The post office is definitely still open. I was there yesterday. That's a great resource. So people can sit outside the library and use the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we've done.
Thank you.
Sorry. Did you? Okay. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for calling. I work at Join, and we have had to unfortunately close the day space itself for hanging out because it's impossible to keep social distance in there. But we definitely still have the Wi-Fi available. We're still doing people's mail. You can still get some food. I'll bring you a cup of coffee to the side door. And we definitely still have Wi-Fi on. So if people have emergencies that they need to check in, you can do that there during the day. There are. I just wanted to mention that there are a lot of groups working on this right now. We're not all working in the same network, although these networks are quickly becoming connected. So there is another group that is working with mostly trying to collect donations, and this is how we got connected with the Q Center space. Because they had set it up to receive donations, but wanted to connect to our network to get stuff out.
Just to be absolutely clear, so the donations, are you exclusively or mostly talking about food donations at this point?
No, actually, we are definitely looking for medical supplies, household supplies, hygiene equipment, things like that. So we need toilet paper, we need bottled water, we need things like, you know, if you have extra allergy medication, if you bought up on alcohol or sanitizer wipes, if you found yourself with way too many, you know, vitamins, things like that. We need the things that people need. So we're trying to make sure that people have household cleaners so that they can stop the spread of the virus in their homes and around their friends. We need masks to get out to our friends who are doing, you know, medical work on the street, and to give to people who are, you know, threatened by this. We need pet food. We need large scale vendor donations. If you're the place you work or the place you own is going to be shut for a while and there's stuff that you don't need, we can get it out to people. One of the things that's interesting about this sort of situation, and you know, it's a situation that none of us have really lived through, unless you were around for the Spanish flu, I guess, is how Marxian analysis talks about the contradictions of capitalism, and they really have never been more clear. We're really finding out what money is worth, you know?
Indeed.
When toilet paper costs $67 a roll, but you can get it from your neighbor, what's the answer?
Indeed, however this shakes out, I've been thinking a lot about this. We should definitely focus on the more immediate needs at this point. But it's the way the things are going with the economy and the sort of conflict seemingly between, you know, now they're, you know, we're talking about bailing out the corporations again. We're talking about, you know, the question that Amy Goodman just asked on Democracy Now. Who's going to get bailed out? Unfortunately, unlikely as always, it's going to tend to be the people who already have the most, and you know, the people who are losing their jobs, and you know, all the granular ways that people are going to be impacted by this. That it's we find out minute by minute that all the different ways are obviously not going to be fully. You know, they say that people can the temporary evictions thing, that people are going to have 6 months to pay back their, but you know, is that really realistic, or is that just sort of an arbitrary number that just, you know, just to get something passed? These sort of questions are obviously going to be very important as time goes on. But anyway, so whether or not we can actually address the roots of the crisis in the midst of the crisis is an interesting question. But right now we're dealing with the day-to-day issues that we're all going through. So it's really important to get this kind of mutual aid stuff up and running. And hopefully through that, we can, you know, build further solidarity that can carry us through. With that, I just want to say that 503-231-8187 is the number. I believe we still have that line open. I'm Paul Rowland, the regular host for Wednesday Talk Radio. I am with Sarah, my third Wednesday co-host. We are both remote. There's no volunteers activity anymore at the station at least the next 30 days. So we're doing talk radio, and I'm finding interestingly that this feels more and more like a vital part of the community, this talk radio. There's not many opportunities to do this sort of thing, so it's really good to talk with you, Sarah. So continue, and let's talk more about some of the where you see these efforts going. And again, so you're looking for, obviously, you're gonna, you know, you need people with cars, you need people with time, you need people who are physically able to do these things, to actually drop off these donations to people who are housebound, either because they're just housebound and they have limitations, or because they're being self-quarantined, either because they've been exposed. So talk more about how people can plug into the network.
Yeah, for sure. So we have a Facebook page. It is TDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid. On that page, there are links to everything that you need. There is a form to offer support, which means that you would either be donating or driving or helping us on the back end. We have a lot of busy, busy people doing dispatch and answering emails and fielding phone calls, and, you know, working with Congressman Earl Blumenauer to get a resource page up online with all of this stuff. So if you are interested in any of that, fill out that offer support form, and that's a good way to get started. You can also join the Facebook group and start chatting people up and find out where you fit. If you need support in any form, there is also a link to that form you can fill out online on the Facebook page or on our Linktree page, which is at PDX Mutual Aid. We also have an Instagram account that we keep going with updates and also pretty pictures. There's a Mastodon. All of these links are available at that Linktree, is our GoFundMe.
And as you said, you're looking to get a phone number operational within the next day or two. So that will be another way that people can plug in.
And keep an eye out for those paper forms. I know we want to be careful about just leafleting right now. This is something, there's a great set of protocols from a UK mutual aid group that I think is going to be on the program page today, that has protocols for even how to leaflet in a clean manner so that you're not spreading germs or spreading virus. So we're trying to be mindful of all of that, but those paper forms will be available starting today out in the community. You can also come and get them at Join. Basically from me. So there, I just wanted to mention there are some other groups doing this. There's a group that is comprised of, I believe, Symbiosis, DSA, and Pop Mob that is doing a lot of great awareness raising and collecting of resources and funds for everybody. There's also PDX Childcare Collective, which is going to be real pivotal in the coming days. I already know that my parent friends are feeling the pinch here, both financially and also emotionally. Like it's very difficult to parent in community, as so many of us do now, without your community around you. So like, check in, have FaceTime hangouts with your friends who have kids, like make some Google like hangouts with your groups of friends that you miss. But we need to emotionally support each other through this as well. But yeah, PDX Emergency Child Care Collective is great. We have linked to their spreadsheet, which has lots of different groups that you can get a hold of if you need emergency child care. There is also a group, so on that the other COVID community group, the COVID-19 Portland Area Community Support, was, I believe, the first webpage that came up around this and where the Mutual Aid Network sprung from. They have also started a group that is petitioning for a rent freeze. So that would entail not just the eviction moratorium, but also it would include eradicating the rent debt from this period. So that's something that's happening. It's PDX Rent Freeze. That's definitely something we need to start talking about. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just got a text message. A caller just wanted to give a suggestion. She wants me to mention that radio is a resource for those who don't have a computer, and that KBOO is where it's at, which is a nice sentiment that we appreciate. But it goes to show that it's yet another challenge. I mean, I've been faced with this over the time that I've been a talk show host, that a lot of people have wanted KBOO to be more directly a community resource, which we're not necessarily set up to be. It would take, you know, an additional layers of organizing within the station to do the kinds of things that listeners have suggested over the years. But this is particularly a moment where we're challenged. As I said, we don't have a volunteer at the front desk anymore. I volunteer half a day once a week, and I get lots of calls. You know, I'm getting people to not just ask for information about programs on KBOO, but to ask for community resource. I'm looking up stuff on the computer. I'm giving people phone numbers. And so that's an additional challenge, because we don't have our regular volunteer base. So I won't ask, you know, the staff people who are, as I said, already overworked and, you know, doing long shifts, having to do all the shifts throughout the night now to keep the station going, to keep programming on the air, and figuring out how to do the remote, to do all the program music and public affairs remotely as we're doing now, but all the other programs too, and to get back to more to our regular schedule, which has been on hiatus. But that's a long-winded way of saying that's a great suggestion, and I hope that's something that KBOO can actually provide. But back you were talking about the various support groups, the PDX Child Care Collective, and some of these are, again, stuff that for now can be found online on this the PDX COVID-19 Mutual Aid Network page, some stuff on the COVID-19 Portland, Oregon Area Community Support. And I don't actually have
going to say, there's also on the program page for today's show, there's a pretty decent series of links that can connect you to a lot of this stuff as well.
And I will probably add more to that. And that's a good,
yeah.
Again, KBOO.FM, and Wednesday Talk Radio is the name of the program. If you don't or you know how to find it, just go to the website and learn how to navigate the website, because there's a lot of other really good stuff on there. So I'm Paul Rowland. I'm the regular host of Wednesday Talk Radio. It's 8:43 in the morning. We've got another 15 minutes, and we have still a line open, 503-231-8187. Again, especially if there's anybody in the outlying area, KBOO goes out to a pretty wide area, not just the Portland metro area, and we're trying to reach out and start to have more programming from some of those areas. So if anyone is in any of those areas and has some resources or information, please call that number. And I'm with Sarah, who's with the Portland Assembly, and she's my one of my third Wednesday co-hosts. And we're talking about mutual aid in time of pandemic. Big subject. We're all trying to get behind the curve here and having a tough time, but it seems like some people are springing into action, which is really, really good to know. So, again, your talk about maybe give more information about the specifically the food and household necessities and medical items. That is kind of the main focus, I guess, of what you all are trying to do.
Just real quick, I want to mention you had said talking about outside of Portland. And Rural Organizing Project, who I am a longtime fan of their work. They're amazing folks. They will do the kind of stuff that we do, but in rural outlying communities. They are helping folks to organize their communities in more rural areas of Oregon. They are having an online or on phone strategy session today, actually, this evening at 6:30. And you can register on their page to receive the link so that you can join the conversation by computer or phone. And that's the Rural Organizing Project, which is ROP.org. And they do amazing work. So they're going to have a lot of strategies and places for people to connect who are not in Portland, but recognize that they need their community now. Things that we need. You know, honestly, I'm kind of looking at bigger resource asks right now. We are getting with the restaurant industry shutdowns, we are getting offers of large amounts of food that we need to store. So we need community kitchens, we need commercial kitchens that are not active right now. We have a lot of folks who are outside and don't have the ability to shelter in place, don't have the ability to isolate, even if they may think they are sick, may not have the ability to get the care that they need. And we, honestly, I don't even really know what to ask for as far as that goes. I feel like we need a motel or some sort of large building where people can have their own rooms. We've got a lot of people living outside. You know, I work with people who are kind of unable to access the services that a lot of people use when they are houseless. And it is worrying me a lot that I don't really know what to offer them, because none of those resources are trickling down that far. So if people have ideas, we want your ideas too, because this is something that we can only build together. But when we build it, it is going to be so much better than what we have now. It's already better.
Well, on that subject, we've got Mike on the line, who actually wants to talk about how it's time for people to create a society we want through the crisis. That's sounds like something we'd like to hear from Mike about. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi there, Paul. My name is Mike, and you know, Naomi Klein wrote in Shock Doctrine about how governments at times of national emergencies implemented really draconian measures to suit their big businesses' ends. And I think that now is the time for us to direct a narrative to address the shortcomings in our society. This crisis, it should point out to people how ill-prepared we are as a nation to face these kind of things. And it's not just the corona. You know, a 9.2 earthquake would be the same, would put us in the same sort of situation. But we need to direct the narrative on how we want our society to look. Things like national health care, government-provided daycare, sick pay for everybody. You know, things even as basic as addressing things like solitary confinement in prison. We're worried about people being socially isolated for 2 weeks, and prisoners are. We have 80,000 prisoners in the United States that have been in solitary confinement for an incredible amount of time. We need to address the issues so that the next time we have a situation like this, we are prepared and we're not flying blind. But I think that we need to work with our neighbors, work with people to figure out how we want our society to look.
Right on.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the principles that, like, Portland Assembly has been working off for a long time. And I gotta say, that's why I kind of feel more prepared. I'm very comforted by the network of really solid and aware people that I have around me. So I will say that I think that Mike is on the right track, but I also think we should think bigger at this point. I think that this period of time is going to show us not just the contradictions, but the huge lies of capitalism. I mean, capitalists have a mutual aid network too, and it's, you know, the government and major businesses, and they all are helping each other out right now. So we should recognize that and act accordingly. I also think, like, we definitely need to look to our prison system. We advocate for prison abolition. And that sounds like a big, complicated mess. But at this point, looking at the way that we incarcerate our population, primarily our Black, brown, and poor population, we can see what that tool is being used for, and it's to sequester parts of the community that we see either as a workforce or as disposable.
And it's interesting. And it's interesting that it because both the, you know, the detention centers for immigrants and the prisons are such closed spaces with people tightly packed together. There's a lot of fear that if and when the coronavirus enters those spaces, it will spread quickly. So there's actually growing calls for people to release either, you know, the entirety of the people in the case of ICE centers, or specific groups of more specifically older prisoners, people in bad health, to release at least those classes of prisoners. So it's interesting that this crisis is actually forcing that issue as well.
Well, in other countries where things are already worse than they are here, there have been riots and breakouts in prisons because people will not allow themselves to be kept under those conditions. So that's something we need to pay attention to as well, is that where there are real pushbacks like that, like, we're doing something wrong, and keeping people incarcerated in those conditions, especially under these circumstances, should not be happening. This should be a time to reaffirm our human rights, like, that we have a right to shelter, we have a right
to access clean water and food. And we have to reaffirm this now.
Let's take one last caller. Certainly one more caller, but we're running out of time. Okay. So, Mitch, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add to what Sarah and you and the current the previous caller were talking about using the shock doctrine. More than one can play the shock doctrine game that Naomi Klein outlined in her book. It doesn't have to just be corporations looking to get legislation passed during times of crisis that are favorable to their interests. This is when the public interest needs to rise up. And it's an opportunity for us because I think one of the problems to how homelessness metastasized as a social problem was that we became normalized to seeing homeless people on the streets. That didn't used to be the case during the Cold War years when we had appearances to keep up and the government had an obligation not to allow capitalism to look so down at the heels. Without an ideological rival now, there isn't that counter pressure. That's why we haven't had low-income housing built, as our president's family got rich off of government contracts, big government. That's how Democrats adopted the shrink big government motto of the Republicans and got away with it because people started, to buy that Reagan line about welfare mothers. And then we just got used to pole vaulting over the homeless in the streets. If we were lucky enough to have a job and to have the rent covered each month, we just normalized to it. We've got to now take advantage of this situation and make sure there is housing. If we take everyone out of who's mass incarcerated, we can't put them on the streets in the Springwater Corridor. We have to have SROs built. We have to turn those empty high-rise condos that have been built with financialized global capital, and we've got to turn them to the city's purposes, as I think Joanne Hardesty was trying to envision, but to me it just seemed very utopian. So thank you, and keep this information line going.
Amen, brother.
I mean, I feel like it might seem utopian, but it's actually very practical. There's a group called Mutual Aid Disaster Relief that they do a lot of work in sort of the South in areas that are hit by hurricanes and storms and things like that. And they did a great event here, and I learned a lot in especially that when we are doing things like warming shelters, when we are feeding people, that is disaster relief, and the disaster is capitalism. And there's a Daruti quote that says, "We are not in the least afraid of ruins, for we carry a new world in our hearts." And that's something I keep with me a lot.
Sarah, because can you talk more about Join for people that don't have computers and don't know what Join is?
Oh, Join. Join is a great company that I'm really happy to work for. And we do houseless outreach. We support folks to get into housing. We are still going. Our outreach workers are still out there. The day space is not open for visitors inside, but our garden is open, and we are providing mail and food when we can. I am grateful for them and every organization that recognizes that this is a time of need and that we need to be there for the community as we can. We all need to keep ourselves safe to the best of our ability. Everybody needs to, stay inside if they are of the population that should. But if you can help in any way, whether it's from inside or outside, now's the time.
Thank you very much, and keep the information flowing. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks for calling.
All right. We only got a couple minutes left. Once again, this is a Wednesday talk radio. I'm Paul, and the other voice you've heard is Sarah. This is a third Wednesday and show, and we are talking about mutual aid in time of pandemic and giving a lot of information, resources. Thank you to all the callers who called in. Thank you to the staff members of KBOO for keeping KBOO going.
Yay!
And this is it's in times of crisis, terrestrial radio is perhaps also seen once again to be the vital resource that it truly is, because as not everybody's got a computer and can listen online, and radios are cheap, folks. So we need to. This is probably going forward. This may be a more and more important vital resource. I actually did a program a few years ago on the importance of community radio in disaster situations like fires, and it's interesting that the number of community radio stations that became the go-to resource for their communities during such crises, because we're not a part of a chain. You know, we're grassroots, so we can basically adapt fairly readily as situations evolve, and we've got our roots into the community. That's what community radio is all about. So there's a plug for that. I think we only have a minute left. Last word to you, Sarah.
Oh, no, not me. I am really excited, actually. Like, things are tough and uncertain, but I definitely know I can depend on my community. And I'm really pleased that so many other people are realizing that, because really it's all we have. We've said, as long as Portland Assembly has been around, we've said that no one is coming to save us. And we are just going to set to the work of saving each other. So we can handle this as a community, and I thank you all for your strength.
All right. At that, it's the strike of nine, so we got to get out of here. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Rulon with Wednesday
Talk
Radio.
Thanks, Paul. Good to talk to you.
All right.
All right.
Bye. Over to Jenna.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah.